I think I may have started prematurely. Good morning, everyone. This is Mike Beasley with Cohesive Solutions. I appreciate you joining our webinar today. It's a T&D implementation story that my colleague Richard Pike will talk about here shortly. Just a little bit of background for those that are unfamiliar with our firm, Cohesive Solutions. We're the largest integrator of Maximo in the U.S. We have the largest practice, and our primary focus is on utilities as well as oil and gas, so it's very heavily focused towards the energy sector. This webinar is part of a series that we're promoting this summer. There'll be one today, of course, and then there'll be one again in June on the 17th that you'll get notifications on over the coming weeks, and then there'll be one in July and August. The one in June will be a follow-up to this presentation, which is an overview of an implementation project that is currently underway. And it will talk then at that time about an application that's been created in Maximo for storm damage assessment. And then there'll be one GIS related, and then following that there'll be one about just industry trends within the utility industry. I'll also add that while this webinar is very T&D centric, I understand that we have some guests on the line listening and viewing that happen to be more generation oriented in their business. We do have a generation aspect to our practice, a very large aspect of it that's both nuclear and non-nuclear. But again, today's focus is around T&D. And this webinar is part of a campaign that Cohesive started to initiate the dialogue around replacing the old with the new. And that's the theme that, of course, you saw in your email to promote this. And we recognize that there's quite a number of clients that are in that early stages of searching for replacement to their Passport, their Wemyss, their Dodgem, and go down the list of older systems, older technologies that are due for replacement. And some of you even have homegrown systems or a collection of a package system and homegrown systems, and you're starting to have that dialogue internally, and we'd like to provoke that conversation with a webinar such as this and conversations that might follow if you see fit to talk about a roadmap of how you might migrate from your older technologies to something more current. What you should be seeing now is introduction slide. You've got, of course, me as the Vice President of Cohesive. I've got my colleague Richard Pike, who will pick up here shortly and talk about an active engagement that he's working on. One thing that I know you'll be curious about, but we'll be unable to share, and that is, who is the client that Richard is speaking of today? And just due to contractual non-disclosures with the client, we're unable to share. I'll just say that it is an investor-owned utility that he'll talk about, and all that data is noted in the PowerPoint. So with that bit of background, what I'd like to do is go to the next slide, which is a poll, and then once I would like to, well, at this point I'd like to have you go ahead and participate in this poll, if you could take a moment and fill that in. We'll display the results here shortly. I'll transition over to Richard so he can begin to share the story about the project that he's working on at this time.
Okay, so let me add my welcome to Mike's. It's glad to be able to present to you today. Today we're going to talk about a T&D project which is currently underway. What I'm going to do is share with you some overview of that project and highlight some key things that we're doing to solution problems and challenges with this particular project that we believe will be interest to you. If you're like me, when I was on the customer side of the business, you came to one of these presentations for probably one of two reasons. One is that you're looking to upgrade and you want to understand how another utility like myself would approach a project and how the particular challenges of the process and particular key T&D challenges were overcome as a part of that project. Or you might be a current user and you've got challenges that you're going through, and you want to see how someone else implemented the Maximo as well as overcame some of those challenges. And hopefully today we'll be able to address both needs. So let me first start out giving you a little bit of background into the utility that we're talking about. As Mike indicated, it's a mid-level investor-owned utility with approximately 700,000 customers serving both generation, transmission, and distribution as well. Of interest in this particular project, we're addressing over 2 million assets. We've got about 800,000 of those that are poles, about 300,000 that are transformers. We're addressing over 800,000 meters. And then in the substation and transmission arena, we're addressing approximately 200,000 assets. From applications that we're implementing, we're using Maximo for Utilities, integrated with Spatial. We're implementing supply chain, and I'll talk more about that as we go forward. And from a mobile perspective, we're implementing Maximo anywhere and every place. As with supporting the substation and transmission arena, we're also implementing Maximo Scheduler. The client is implementing the Schneider Designer as a distribution design tool as well. So we'll show how those things integrate with the project as we go forward. So let's talk just a little bit about the project scope. This project was initiated primarily as a distribution project. It's pretty much a typical distribution layout with key drivers. So this particular client has a 25-year-old mainframe work management system called Dodgem. Many of you are probably familiar with that application. And as in 25 years, it's got a lot of customizations that have taken place over the years. From an asset-based perspective, it's a legacy system, highly customized and very manual intensive. The business processes are well out of date, they're highly manual, and across the service area are very inconsistent using a lot of standalone databases built primarily in Lotus Notes to be able to support the system. So it was a fairly challenging but maybe typical environment to address. As we began working with the distribution area and giving overview, the transmission and substation group was extremely interested. They were to be a next implementation of Maximo, but as we began presenting and working with them in the business process area, the transmission substation maintenance as well as construction areas expressed high interest in being involved, went to their leadership, and justified that they could be a part of the implementation. And we'll show you how they're fitting in as well. Their key drivers primarily are going to be around work management. They're currently using Cascade for maintenance, and the work management is primarily manual, and they're very interested in what Maximo would provide from a work management perspective. Also is planning and scheduling, which was based primarily around spreadsheets. And then last of all, they wanted to be able to have a tighter integration with supply chain. Last of all, we needed to keep in focus a future integration with generation. So generation played a part in our workshops to ensure that whatever decisions were made with how we were implementing the project also would work with generation as well. Let me give you just a little bit around the timeline. We began the project in September of 2014 with a projected 3-year schedule. This gives you a perspective of where we are currently in the project. We're currently focused in on distribution, where we've completed the process design, we've completed the system design, We've completed the build and configuration and are currently in the testing mode. As we move forward, we'll continue to complete the testing, the deployment, and the rollout for full implementation in May of 2017. Now, getting back to the transmission and substation, which started late, we're currently working in the process design and we'll then move forward to the system building, configuration, test, deploy, and rollout targeted for a month later than the distribution in June of 2017. Let me give you a little bit of the lay of the land using this diagram, which is typical for T&D utilities and the systems and how they integrate. Currently, the distribution uses Dodgem as their work management tool with very little integration with other systems. They're using CGI's ARM scheduler for scheduling and have a fairly strong process around scheduling. They're currently using Intergraph for OMS. It's a separate system, not integrated, but the mobile system over in the left-hand corner has been configured to support managing work management from both the CSS system, the on-off orders, as well as the project work as well. From an asset management perspective, up in the upper left-hand corner, they've got Cascade, which is the digital inspections box, and the DSDB, Distribution System Database, homegrown system supporting the distribution area. And then PeopleSoft recently implemented for supply chain and financials, and we'll talk a little bit more as we go and look at the future state, how that's impacted. They currently have no design system, and they'll be going to the Schneider designer. So as we look at the future application footprint, this is the footprint that we're implementing currently. So Maximo will begin to take over work from the short cycle, from the CSS. We're also taking over the mobile piece that was going into the Intergraph mobile and deploying Maximo anywhere and every place. We're taking over and replacing the DSDB, the distribution database, as well as integrating back to Cascade. So now the interesting thing for those that use Cascade and how and interested in how it might be integrated, Cascade is no longer going to be the system of record for assets. Maximo will be the system of record for all the assets, but Cascade will continue to do some of the complex triggering that it really is more designed to do. But Maximo will really be the master in the transmission and substation arena. From a supply chain perspective, Maximo will be, supply chain will be implemented, of course, integrated with tightly with the work management system, and PeopleSoft will be on the back side of it. So we'll integrate Maximo supply chain with PeopleSoft. But the folks that are working in the field, what they will see from a supply chain will be Maximo. So this is a time for another poll. If you wouldn't mind just taking an opportunity to show us a little bit about what types of applications you're using for field order execution. So I'm going to move forward here, and let's talk a little bit about how we've met the particular needs in both the asset management and work management arenas. So there were two areas, asset management, which from this client's particular perspective, really was non-existent. They were in a reactive mode, and we worked with the client to establish from the ground up their asset management program. And from a work management perspective, you got a little bit of the lay of the land, and from the 25-year-old system. They were really looking to transform their business to where the business processes and the application were working hand in hand. So let's talk about the approach that we're taking with asset management for this particular client. They were in a reactive mode, and they didn't have a system to be able to generate any of their PMs, PM programs, and certainly not to track to be able to do any kind of failure analysis. The system that they had, the DSDB, was a legacy OMS system and also supported connectivity between each of the devices, all manually updated and kept up. So let's talk about the really three highlighted areas that we addressed for them. First of all, we established a comprehensive asset management integrated with Spatial. Now, a lot of different, if you're using Maximo Spatial, it provides a lot of opportunities to support you in your asset management program. For example, one of the things that we did when they wanted to integrate their pole inspection program is utilized the GIS integration to be able to identify, collect the assets, the pole assets that were going to be a part of the inspection, wrote the work orders against that, provided that to the outside vendor, let them capture the inspection results and any of the extra maintenance items, import it back into Maximo, and we then processed the results back to the assets and created and generated all the maintenance work that was captured as a part of that pole inspection. And that's just one example of how we leverage the Maximo Spatial. In addition, of interest is the high volume of assets that we're tracking. Now, traditionally, in the past at least, tracking of poles, transformers, and meters was pretty much off limits because of the high volume and high transactions for those particular types of devices. With the increased technology, and with the integration with Spatial, enabled us to be able to address the architecture from a Maximo hierarchy, as well as the transactions, and minimize the manual intervention that would normally have taken place in the past if you tried to do these devices. You'll be able to see some of that in a later seminar. As a part of that, we also address the full life cycle of assets, and that, this is a pretty unique solution, and this will be part of a future webinar. We addressed the creation of assets from purchase using multiple applications, the asset template application. We integrated with a graphic work design, Schneider Designer, and how it integrated with our compatible unit estimated in Maximo, linking that to the multi-asset location table on the work order to provide a full life cycle from purchase to be able to set up the pending locations of the assets, to be able to populate the resulting installation of the assets, and lastly, the putting in service of the asset and executing any PMs that are associated with that asset. A very unique solution, which I know you'll be looking forward to seeing. From a work management perspective, we'll give you kind of an overview of how we approached these particular challenges with this customer. As I mentioned earlier, their processes were broken, highly manual, based on a 25-year-old system, had non-standard desperate systems where they had Lotus Notes databases set up and used differently by different locations, not integrated. So the customer was really looking at starting fresh, being a transformative process, and integrating the CSS work as well. make it a standard process for everyone using the system, keeping in focus the fact that it was not just a distribution system, it was going to be a transmission and substation system and a future system for generation as well. So the approach that we took was to base everything upon a common work process. The common process that we used was what we called the complex work process, which had all the nuances of processes. It had prerequisites. It had high degrees of coordination. It had design attributes. It had purchasing and material deliveries. It had all the components that we need to address from a common perspective. Once we developed the process for the complex work, all other processes would fall in line with this. We looked at their as-is processes and identified the pain points as a part of the process to design to make sure that we addressed all the key areas that the customer wanted to make sure were addressed. So here's kind of an illustration of how we went through the process. We did it from an IPSEC. Most of you are probably familiar with that. The initiate, plan, design, schedule, execute, complete, and close. Along with the common process, as I mentioned, the common complex work process formed the basis for the other work, and then the short cycle work and simple work, and then the large construction and O&M processes followed suit. So let's go through some of the highlights of this particular implementation. I'll cover three. First of all, I think what is interesting to note is that we addressed the high-volume CSS orders. The CSS orders in their current environment did not go through their DOGM system, did not go through their work management system. They went directly through scheduling out to the mobile. And that involved a lot of highly sophisticated mainframe code and transformation of the CSS transactions into orders. Going through Maximo simplified that process, made the integration with the scheduling application one way directly into Maximo, all work scheduled and managed the same way. It also provided an opportunity which many T&D utilities don't have, is the visibility of metering work on-off orders along with the construction work. In fact, the ability to put the two together. We also addressed meter assets. Meters were not included in the PeopleSoft. The inventory and tracking of meter was all manual. And the process of requesting complex meter designs was on paper. We fully integrated the meter assets into inventory so that we could track them. We tracked them as a part of the CSS orders and as assets as to where they would be located. And we also integrated the complex meter designs and work as a part of this. Very interesting. Another highlight is that for those of you that have used a DOGM, a STORMS, you would be familiar with job codes, which are templated designs, without having to go into the compatible unit estimating application. We implemented the use of CU templates for like types of changeouts, installations and removals. And we're supporting two scheduling applications at the same time, looking at the same data, the ARM scheduler from CGI, as well as the Maximo scheduler for transmission and substation work. And last but not least, Mike mentioned we addressed the particular challenge the customer had with managing storms. They're very messy businesses. In particular, when my assets are damaged, putting putting everything back in place, getting my data back up to date, addressing the accounting processes is a very messy business. So we're very proud on the approach that we took from a damage assessment, being able to use the same process that folks do in the field with regular work and extending it to be able to estimate labor and material, not just identify it textually, but actually build schedulable units of work and be able to track actual reservations of material during storm damage and improve the overall as-building process after that. And that'll be covered in a later webinar. So, kind of summarizing where we've been today and some of the things that we've done, hopefully piqued some of your interest. I've already highlighted a few solutions that we're putting into place, such as Maximo assets integrated with Spatial, where we're applying some opportunities to collect and do inspections, pole inspections, how we're integrating the high-volume assets such as poles, meters, and transformers to the GIS, and making sure that we are able to keep everything in sync in a highly dynamic environment. I've also mentioned that we're using the CUE templates. We've got a complex design integrated with the project work. Now, one of the things I haven't highlighted earlier on is that we're also integrating with TOA, and there's a lot of TOA initials out there. This is the Transmission Outage Application. As a part of this integration, what we're doing here is that we're using the launch and contact capability to tie switching that's associated with a work order to launch in context and link to the outage request, track it from a Maximo perspective, and when it's approved and there are resources required to perform the switching, we're taking the request from the transmission outage application and actually creating assignment records that can easily be scheduled on the appropriate date and time, and providing information to the field users pretty much automatically. It's pretty slick. And we've talked about the asset lifecycle and the damage assessment, which will be the topics of future webinars, and hopefully you'll be able to join us. So that's pretty much the overview that we're going to be able to present to you today. And thank you for participating. And we're going to open it up for some questions at this time.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks, Mike. We do have a couple of questions. You mentioned including large volume assets like poles. Why and are you doing anything to make those assets easier to manage? It seems like they're a bit of a handful.
Certainly. So as I mentioned, we've got this asset lifecycle perspective. So as a part of a design, which is really a unique solution, when I'm using the Snyder Designer, I'm actually identifying its spatial location, but I'm also building a potential Maximo location at the identical same time, and I've got the proposed attributes of that asset. So when I go over to the work order using the multi-asset location table, I'm actually creating a placeholder that when the crew actually makes the install, they fill in any additional attributes. I've already provided the majority of them. They are actually telling me now that that's in service at that particular GIS location, so that when we close the work order out, we're already setting that asset in place. It really reduces a lot of the manual effort in managing those high volume, high transaction assets. Thanks for that question.
Great, thanks so much. Got one more. For you mentioned the transmission and substation business units. Did you have separate sites, or are they grouped together?
Oh, that's an interesting question, and that's always a challenge in the T&D environment, is should they be in the same sites or not? The perspective that we took on that is that very often the transmission and substation folks work together in the same environment. So it was our approach to be able to put them in the same site and not build the barrier between the two. But we're providing some tools to be able to screen out the assets that are transmission and substation from the distribution folks from a security perspective, so they believe and operate as if they're in their own systems. But when they need to work together, and in particular identified areas where there's joint use poles and where there are switching that takes place both in substation and both in distribution, where they have to work together, then they can see the same work. They're all using the same work order table. Great question.
Excellent. Thanks so much. We're pretty much right at time. Thank you so much, Richard. That was great content. Thank you, Mike, for the introduction on Cohesive. We will be providing a copy of the presentation as well as a link to the recorded version as a follow-up early next week. If you could take a moment and respond to our poll right after the webinar closes, we'd sure appreciate it. I know that both Mike and Richard have mentioned some upcoming webinars, and if you have any other content you're interested in or any challenges that you've got in the industry, we'd sure like to hear that from you. And we'll look forward to seeing you online in June. I hope everybody has a great rest of their day and a great weekend. Take care.